Good evening. This is the KRFB Evening Report for Tuesday, May 1st, 2018. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. More on the successful signature gathering drive to get Medicaid on the Idaho ballot, Medicaid expansion. Idaho Health and Welfare finds high nitrate levels in Genesee water. And Pullman police looking for stabber. Two Montana environmental groups sue over sage grouse habitat. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Organizers for a ballot measure expanding Medicaid in Idaho spent much of today dropping off petitions at county clerk's offices around the state. Updated estimates say between 51,000 and 62,000 Idahoans fall within the Medicaid gap, meaning they make too much to qualify for Medicaid without Medicaid expansion, but make too little to qualify for subsidized health insurance under the Federal Affordable Care Act. For years, the estimated number of Idahoans in the Medicaid gap was around 78,000. For the past 5 years, Idaho legislators have balked at expanding Medicaid, fearing more federal mandates. The resistance by lawmakers came even though the federal government would pay for 90% of the health care provided under expansion using tax money Idahoans already pay to the federal government. Much of the statewide effort to get Medicaid expansion on the ballot originated in Moscow. Emily and Garrett Strizich of Moscow co-founded Reclaim Idaho in Moscow and began working with former Democratic State Senator Dan Schmidt of Moscow on coming up with language for the ballot measure. During his time in the state Senate, Schmidt was a prominent and constant advocate for Medicaid expansion. Speaking to the Lewiston Tribune, Emily Strizich said of Schmidt, he pointed out the hypocrisy of legislators who receive government-sponsored health care while railing against providing government-sponsored health care for the people who need it most. Schmidt told the paper when he started working with Reclaim Idaho last summer, he didn't think they could do it. If county clerks verify the signatures, Medicaid expansion will be the first statewide ballot initiative to make the Idaho ballot since the legislature added signature requirements to the initiative process in response to voters' repeal of the three laws passed at the urging of former Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna, the Luna laws. Before the law change, initiative backers only needed signatures from 6% of the state's registered voters. Now they must also have signatures from 6% of the registered voters in 18 out of the state's 35 legislative districts. Schmidt said he was surprised organizers got 6% of the registered voter signatures in the sprawling conservative rural 7th legislative district, which snakes between Sandpoint and Riggins. He said, I'm amazed that district qualified. In late January, I was talking to someone in Grangeville who said they collected 700 signatures. You have to be kidding me. That was just a little less than we had in Moscow. County clerks will have to submit verified signatures to the Secretary of State's office by July 6th. Organizers say they worked very hard to minimize the number of signatures that will be disqualified by making sure people were signing the petitions for the correct district and that their current address matched the latest address they registered to vote during the last election in. Mismatched addresses are one of the biggest reasons initiative signatures are invalidated in Idaho. The Idaho Health and Welfare Department is reporting nitrate levels in the water at Genesee has exceeded allowable legal maximum contamination limits. Officials are advising Genesee residents not to give town water to infants under 6 months of age. Testing on the city's water system showed nitrate levels were 11.2 milligrams per liter, which is higher than Idaho's maximum of 10.4 milligrams per liter for infants and pregnant women. The Health and Welfare Department issued a statement saying in infants less than 6 months old, nitrate levels above 10 milligrams per liter of water in drinking water can reduce the amount of oxygen in the child's blood and cause blue baby syndrome. Genesee Maintenance Supervisor Dustin Brinkley told the Daily News the town has two operational wells, well number 3 and well number 5. Brinkley said farming operations in the fields around the two wells are considered a major contributing factor to high nitrate levels. He said it is not unusual to have nitrate levels rise in well number 3 at this time of year, but historically have not exceeded allowable tolerances. He said nitrate levels in well number 3, quote, have been hovering at the maximum level for the last couple of years. Idaho Department of Environmental Quality Groundwater Program Manager Ed Hagen said a nitrate isotope test will determine the source of the contamination. Hagen said deeper wells in farming areas are not as susceptible to nitrate contamination. Well number 5 is 250 feet deep, and well number 3 is 160 feet deep. Hagen said typically high nitrate levels are a combination of human, animal, or fertilizer waste. Brinkley said there are several reverse nitrate treatment options available to the city, but none are considered very successful. As a result, Brinkley said the city will be looking for a suitable site to drill a new well over the next few months. Brinkley said until that time, the city plans to reduce water being pumped out of well number 3 and rely primarily on well number 5. He said this plan should work until July when farmers begin irrigating, and by then nitrate levels should be lower. He said, we have a little breathing room, but it is something we need to address right now. Genesee Mayor Steve Odenberg said the city is issuing flyers which say boiling water or filtering water does not lower nitrate levels. Odenberg said the city will make bottled water available for adults with immune system problems, infants under 6 months old, and anyone concerned about nitrates in their water. Wildlife advocates in Montana have filed two suits targeting the Trump administration's plans to sell oil and gas leases on large swaths of western public lands. According to the Associated Press, wildlife defenders and advocates say the leases impact crucial sage-grouse habitat. Sage-grouse are ground-dwelling birds that have become more scarce due to loss of habitat in its range across parts of 11 western states. The legal action seeks to reverse oil and gas leases on more than 1,300 square miles of federal land in Montana, Wyoming, Utah, and Nevada. Wildlife advocates also want the Interior Department to block several sales in the four states, totaling more than 1,800 square miles until further environmental reviews can be conducted. Pullman police continue to search for someone who they say stabbed a 19-year-old Seattle man in the chest in the 1100 block of Northeast Valley Road Friday evening. Pullman Police Commander Chris Tennant said the victim remains unidentified but is communicating with officers. Investigators say the man refuses to identify his attacker. According to the Daily News, Tennant said officers responded to two reports at approximately 7:45 Friday evening. Tennant said the first report came from Washington State University Campus Health and Wellness Building, where a private vehicle delivered the man with a stab wound. The second report came from residents in the 1100 block of Valley Road who reported seeing a group of about 8 to 12 men arguing and fighting outside Willow Place Apartments. Witnesses told police they saw a man walking away from the scene holding a knife. Tennant said investigators are frustrated because of uncooperative witnesses and unsuccessful efforts to identify the man. Tennant said a vehicle used to transport the injured man was seized and police are waiting for a search warrant to look for more evidence. Tennant said the injured man is not a university student and it is unclear if alcohol was involved. The Franklin County Sheriff's Office said they have found the body of Isaac Engel of Colville, who disappeared more than a week ago while swimming near the Palouse Falls in eastern Washington. According to the Associated Press, the 23-year-old Engel was swimming with two friends April 21st when two of the three were drawn under the water by an undertow. Engel's friend was able to swim to safety, but Engel remained missing before being found by sheriff's deputies Sunday. The Pullman City Council will be asked tonight to approve a nearly $500,000 contract with Design West Architects for the design phase of the new City Hall remodeling project. In February, Pullman City voters approved a $10.5 million 20-year general obligation bond, which included money for the purchase and remodeling of the Encounters Ministries buildings at 190 Southeast Crestview Drive to be used as the city's new City Hall, Senior Center, and Recreation Center. A document from Design West in the City Council's packet estimates the city will pay them $449,000 for basic design services at the new city property and another $21,800 for survey work. The City Council tonight will also be asked to pass a resolution adopting Pullman Transit route changes for the 2018 through 2019 Washington State University school year. The council will also be asked to accept a bid from Curtis Concrete Construction Incorporated for sidewalk repair and replacement around the city. The council will also hold a discussion on the city's proposed Central Business District project. The Pullman City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, there is going to be partly cloudy skies tonight, low 40, mostly clear conditions tomorrow through Friday, with highs 65 tomorrow, around 71 Thursday and Friday. Lows will be 42 Wednesday night, 47 Thursday night, mostly cloudy, low 46 Friday night, partly sunny Saturday, high 70, 20% chance of showers after midnight Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low 47, and a 30% chance of precipitation Sunday, a slight chance of showers in the morning, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after noon, partly sunny, high 71. Currently 57 degrees at the Pullman Mosca Regional Airport. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can show up at KRFP's Nori Roll booth serving food during the Moscow Renaissance Fair this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, in East City Park. Coming up next, our weekly documentary from the National Radio Project. The show is called Making Contact. And at 6:30, we'll have Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. Music begins at 7:30. Stand by for more. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial, now broadcasting at 1100 watts and online.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, specializing in food, goods, and programs that nourish and nurture our community. The Moscow Food Co-op is located at 121 East 5th Street. For more information, visit moscowfood.coop, call 882-8537, or find them on Facebook.